Maybe you had some prayer requests or some thanksgivings to give us this morning that you want to remember.
Pray.
Yes, let's mention them. David, Brother David, Colby, both in Barranquilla, Colombia this morning with Brother Ishmael, Paula, Marta, Kai, the children, the twins, I forget their names, said hi to because now I'll expect a number of others with me. And have a fruitful time there it seems. What else? Andres, very good. Stephen Davis, please.
God, you're proven.
Yes, yeah. But here's, I think it's particularly talking about on recruited enemy teams. It wasn't too hard or something like that.
Yes.
Yes. Recruited with a with the water company, yes. Company. Anyone else that even before that, it was recruited. Yes, exactly. There's some accurate recruited them in a terrible way. And they came against Israel. But before, remember when it was just Abraham? Or just Isaac. God reproved the king for doing something. It was against Abraham. Against Isaac. Take his wife. And God mercifully, I mean, Abraham looked so naive in all ways. He just said, I'm your brother. But God, on Abraham's behalf, recruited that king and said, you're just but a dead man. You better shape up right now. All right, anyway. Recruit kings on their behalf. Now, those are powerful people. Saying, verse 15, do not touch my anointed ones, and do not act wickedly towards my prophets. And he called a famine upon the land, and shattered all their provision and bread. He set a man before them, he sold Joseph into slavery. That's particularly about Pharaoh there, the king, recruited. They humbled his feet with feathers, and sold fast into the iron. His word came to pass, the revelation of the Lord shied in the fire. The king and the ruler of the people sent and released him, and he acquitted him, and prayed in the Lord of his house, and the ruler of all his domain, to instruct his rulers as himself, and teach his elders wisdom. And Israel came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Canaan, and increased his people greatly, made them stronger than their enemies, and changed their heart to hate his people. Deal craftily with his servants. You know, made them slaves. He sent Joseph. He sent Moses, his servant. He sent Aaron, whom he chose. He put among them the words of his signs and his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness into darkness. They rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood, killed their fish. Their land produced frogs in the chambers of their kings. He spoke in the dawn cry king. Then gnats in all their borders. He gave them hail for rain. Fire burned up their land. Then he smoked their vineyards and their fig trees, and he shattered every tree in their domain. He spoke to the locust king and the caterpillar without number, and ate up all the grass in their land, and devoured the fruit of their land. And he smote all the firstborn in their land, the firstlings of all their labor. He led them out with silver and gold. Remember that? What did he do? How to get the silver and the gold?
They just asked their neighbors and
they never said again. Can I borrow some silver, brother? Can I have some gold? Can I have some money? Oh, just take it. Just take it. And there was not among their tribes one who was beaten. Egypt was gladdened by their exodus, for fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud to cover for them, and a fire to give them light. They asked and the quails came. He filled them with the bread of heaven. He split the rock, the waters flowed. The rivers ran in the waterless places, for he remembered his holy word which he gave to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with exceeding joy, and his chosen ones with gladness. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they inherited the labors of the peoples, so they might keep his ordinances and seek out his law. Have anything else you might remember about the children of Israel? Or have us remember what God did for them? Let me mention to you already. Yeah, that's just pillar of cloud by day, a big cloud over ahead of them. And what happened to the cloud when the Egyptians come up behind
it?
made old pillar of fire between them, separated them from the Egyptians. God had mercy on them for 40 years in the wilderness. And I think of their stupidity, the way they just wouldn't follow God. They just wouldn't trust in Him after He had done so much for them. And they said, you know, we're not going to the land of Canaan. It's too scary. It is too scary. We don't have enough resources. We know better than this. This would be some ridiculous move to go into the land of Canaan. Being, looking like grasshoppers in the sight of these people. And the land just eats up the inhabitants. It's so huge that they could come upon us from any side. We're not going to win. And God said, I am so sad. And I'm not just sad, I'm mad. I did so much for you. And now you turn around and slap me in the face like that. God said, you just go back to learn. Learn in the old hot desert for a while. And so they have to. They need to go through school some more to learn to trust God. To quit trusting in an arm of flesh. You know, that's the way we are sometimes. We might not grab an arm, a pistol, and shoot a bad man, but we might trust a whole bunch in an arm of flesh. We might love what this government can help us with and all this. Think of all thankful we have all of that to back us up. And we say, oh, these poor Israelites, they're just a mess. They could not follow God. They would not put their trust in Him after all He did for them. You know, some of us can't even hold a candle to their faith. Because they actually, when God would tell them, all right, you move now, you go into battle, they went. They were scared, but they went. Some of us don't even want to do that. We just have to have everything right. You know, then we think they're just silly for not putting their trust in God. They were just like us, just want to have stuff in order before they just blindly committed themselves to this God that could make miracles happen. Just think about that a little bit. How little we really trust in God. That's why this psalm is written. Or was this psalmist that wrote this, was he just awful? Was he just crazy? I don't believe he was. Or have times changed now? We just can't trust the Lord. Times have changed. We've gotten a whole lot smarter. We have an extreme amount of education in our hands. God said, you've puffed up wise people. You've worked yourself out of the need for me anymore. Don't even need me anymore. That's what's happened. We've just worked ourselves out of the need for God. We have it. Have it made. We can figure it out. We can do it. Got enough smarts. Do you trust the Lord? That's my hope for my children, my boys. You know, we have a lot of We learn a lot about our work and all that. We still need to remember God is to be trusted in front of me. I just hope for my boys and my girls. Those boys here, all of us, as we grow up, we somehow learn to know God. As long as you're part of this church that trusts the Lord, tries to trust the Lord, and has a good preacher and all that, I'm at the right place. No, you've got to come to a point that you say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to put my trust in you. That's what the children of Israel had to do. That's what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had to do, in spite of their terrible fear. That's what this psalmist is trying to say. Look what he did. And that's what the Apostle Paul tries to tell us when he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, if God can be before us, who can be against us? People call that crazy. It's called life. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love them. To them that are who are called according to this verse. That's the goal of prayer. To respond to God's call. Here where they're called out. If you don't respond, they're not the called out. The church is called out. They're called out from this world. That's what the church is. That's what God is. Very different from the way this world thinks. Well, I think of another prayer request. Our dear neighbor Bob Carter, I have run over my tractor this week. Of God spared his life. So thankful for that. We pray for him to recover. Got a little sign that said, say your piece. What was it about?
It was about how God fought his enemies and delivered them. Thwarted the enemy's plans and fought the battles.
Yeah. God thwarted the enemy's plans and helped them fight the battle.
When Goliath was standing up and calling out for people to come and fight him, for the Israelites to fight him, David just trusted in God and just got his sling and walked out there with some stones, and he said that he was coming with the Lord and not with swords, and then he killed Goliath, and then the Israelites won the victory.
I got with Paul. There was a group of people who really hated him, and they vowed that they would not eat or drink until they had killed him. And then someone heard that and told the Roman soldiers and Paul, and they took him away, and the people didn't kill him.
The Syrians were going to attack the Syrians were going to attack the Israelites, and God told Elisha where the Syrians were, and he went and told the king, and then they were able to defend themselves because they knew where the Syrians were.
When the Egyptians were coming to get the Israelites back, God opened up the water and let the Israelites come through. But then when the Egyptians came in, he closed it up, and then the Egyptians drowned.
Here in
3 Kingdoms 28 to 30. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, "Thus says the Lord, because Syria said, 'The Lord God of Israel is a God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver this entire great multitude into your hand, and you shall know I am the Lord." So they encamped opposite them for 7 days, and on the seventh day the battle was joined. And in one day the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Assyrians. The rest fled to Aphek into the city, but there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the remaining men. As for the son of Hadad, he fled into a house and hid in the private chamber of the bedroom. So God made a wall fall on a whole bunch of men, and then
how many was it again?
25,000. 27,000, I think.
Big wall.
I got when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to the big idol. And then they were thrown in the furnace, and God spared their lives for trusting in him, and he defeated their plans to kill him then.
For your assignment next week, Lord willing, I want you to write it down there, Roger. I want you to remember, think of something that God has given us, we're thankful for. It's a help. And maybe even a protection. Something good that we have. Something. So one of these blessings or something good we have that we are thankful for. But we could get to trusting in it rather than in the giver. Rather than in God. Rather than really calling upon Him. And maybe we, first of all, think of that thing and put our trust in it, and we realize our trust is in it before God, before the very giver, the very one who's in control, one who decides whether we need that thing or not. You understand that? Something that we like, we have, it's given to us, it's good, but we could get our trust in that, keep it in that rather than in God. Be a temptation for us. You can go back, and we've got some older young men prepared with something.
No, we were supposed to have where God bothered us. His people's enemies. I had when the Egyptians were coming after the Israelites to take them back, and God put a pillar of fire to keep the Egyptians from the Israelites. Told Moses to part the waters, and when they went across, and after they went across, God put the pillar of fire out, and then the Egyptians started running across to get the Israelites. But God let the waters fall in the Jordan.
I read in Acts 12 about how Herod threw Peter in prison and how God sent an angel to rescue him. This is Peter's denial is predicted. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me 3 times that you know me."
I thought about how when the Syrians were surrounding the city where all the Israelites were, they were they were running out of food, and then the Lord made a, it was nighttime, and the Lord made a sound of lots of chariots and horsemen and a big army coming, and they thought it was the Israelites' allies, the Hittites, I think. And so then all the Syrians just ran away and left all their things there. And then the people of Israel came out and found all the food and took all the spoils.
In the third book of Maccabees, chapter 5, it says, the king, filled with wrath and anger and inflexible in every respect, summoned Hermon, the keeper of the elephants, on the following day. He ordered that he take all the elephants, 500 in number, and get them drunk with plenty of unmingled wine and abundant handfuls of frankincense. And then after they had grown wild from the bounteous abundance of drink, he used to lead them to where the Jews would meet their fate. And the next morning, Hermon did what he was commanded, and he went to tell the king, and God had, it says God had caused a sweet, deep sleep to fall over the king. And they couldn't wake him until later in the day. And then they woke him up, and he said, because I've slept through the day doesn't mean they're going to escape too easily. So they said they didn't even sleep that night. They stayed up all night plotting a new plan. And when they went to summon the king the next morning, God had caused him to completely forget his whole plot, and he became suspicious of all his soldiers that they had ready to martyr the Jews. I thought of Gideon when God told him to drive the Midianites out. They went to battle with like 32,000 men, and God said, no, that's too many, lest they trust themselves more than they trust me. So they end up getting down to 300 men, and God calls the Midianites to some of the men to have dreams about their, I think one of the dreams was one of them dreamed about a big cake of barley rolled down and smashed a bunch of tents, and they said it must be the sword of Gideon, and so they was already scared, and so Gideon divided his 300 men into three different groups, and they surrounded the camp and blew their trumpets and smashed their pitchers that they had, and said that every sword was in the camp was turned on its neighbor, and God gave them victory.
I have the same thing as Cale, and it's just kind of neat how that God made the Midianites confused and start destroying themselves, and the Gideon didn't even have to fight very much.
I had where King Ahasuerus was feasting, and he sent for Queen Vashti, and she refused to come, and he sent for her again, and she refused. And his wise men said, put her away, or all the women in the kingdom, big and small, won't listen to their husbands. And he put her away, and he wanted her back. So they said, pick a new maiden to be the queen. And they did, and then Esther, when Mordecai was listening to Bigthan and Teresh about plotting to kill the king, and he told Esther, and Esther told the king, and then one night when Haman wanted to kill Mordecai because he wouldn't bow down, and Esther saved her people, or God helped Esther save her people.
In Acts 9:23, when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to. So the Jews were wanting to. Jews were going to kill Saul, but their plot became known to Saul. So God helped Saul figure it out. And the Jews were watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by the night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. So God helped.
Gideon's enemies were assembled in the valley like locusts and like the sand of the sea. And
And they were wanting to come and be the rulers and keep dominion over the over Gideon and his people. And then Gideon came and blew trumpets and scared them away.
Yeah, you were able to go ahead with that same assignment. You know, you may be better equipped with your age to think of having had experience in areas that where the gift takes our attention off the giver, and where the gift that is so good doesn't have our best interests or isn't so much for us as God is. And to put our trust in that instead of God.